The bankers are going to make sure we don't, though, so wake up. Good evening. It's Tuesday. Jeff Bennett here with another installment of The Edge, this one better known as protecting your wealth or trying to gain some wealth or something like that. The program is brought to you by Morgana Precious Metals, in part. Glad to be here. No clean way to make $100 million. Somewhere along the line, guys got pushed to the wall. Nice little businesses got the ground cut out from under them. Decent people lost their jobs. Big money is power. Big power gets used wrong. It's the system. Raymond Chandler, The Long Goodbye, and boy, does that one fit tonight. Couple of quick headlines, and we're going to move on. We got a lot to cover in this hour. Goldman Sachs and Citi see the dollar sliding next year, plunging by as much as 20%. What's that going to do for gold and silver? Are you ready? I'm less concerned about the dollar collapsing because it's all part of the game plan anyway. The advent of cashless society, my friends. Can America really take a paid vacation? Funded by Uncle Sam? This is the type of nonsense that actually gets discussed these days. Because everybody thinks that, well, it doesn't matter. The federal government's going to pay for it. Well, yeah, but where does the federal government get their money? Well, they get it from the banks. They get it from, the Federal Reserve. They get it from other countries that have, in many respects, taken over control of this nation by investing in our bonds. You sell enough of them, you pretty well find out that other countries are controlling us. But in a lot of respects, that was much of what our program was about last night. I spent an hour and a half after getting off the air last night in text conversations with a number of people. And that topic, if you did not hear last night's program, I'm going to tell you something. We're talking about November the 16th of 2020, right here on RBN. If you did not hear that program, not for my reasons, not to benefit me, you need to go listen to that archive tonight. And if you did hear it, you need to go listen to it again anyway. This thing is coming out. I don't know what the end result's going to be. In some respects, I care, but I don't care. Well, I can't say that. I really do care. Bank analyst has put Bitcoin price prediction as high as $318,000. My friend up in Idaho will be very happy to hear that. I know you're listening, dear. Crazy stuff. Well, I'm on the air right now, but yeah, I got a friend of mine who sent me a rather sarcastic note on text. He doesn't realize I'm on the air. Dershowitz. Dershowitz says Trump may try to deny Biden 270 electoral votes and put the election in Congress. Because we all know that Trump has not signaled in public about his chances of securing that number of votes. What he's trying to do is deny Biden 270 votes by challenging in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Michigan, Arizona. Dershowitz says that, adding that not allowing Biden to reach 270 out of 538 would eventually force the House state delegations to vote, where Republicans have an advantage over the Democrats. Oh, yeah. Currently, the Republicans have a 26-23 state delegation majority in the House of Representatives. So if Trump can keep the Biden count below 270, then the matter goes to the House of Representatives, where, of course, there is a Republican majority among the delegation of states. And you vote by state if it goes to the House. But the news comes on tonight and, oh, Trump hasn't, you know, given up yet and blah, 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 blah. And he's not letting Biden do his job. Biden had 48 years to do his goddamn job and he never did it. Why should we think the guy's going to turn around? He's not. Did I offend you? I probably did offend some of you, and I apologize for that. But the fact of the matter is, these things have to be said. Used cars and trucks. I'll tell you what, they've had a wild ride this year. Weirdest economy ever. The prices of used cars and trucks that are sold at wholesale auctions around the U.S. dropped again in the week ending last compared to the prior week. 12th week in a row of week-to-week declines that followed a historic 36% spike from April through mid-August. That according to data reported by J.D. Power. Wholesale prices are now down over 8% from that peak. Why would I buy new? My wife is currently driving a 2016 car. And we actually own two of them, but one of them is over at the university with our granddaughter. The two cars I keep flip-flopping back and forth with, one is an 03, one's an 05. I keep trying to figure out which one I want to keep. The 03's got 211,000 miles on it. The 05's got 111. But it's a Jeep. The other one's a Pathfinder. That thing will last. But the Jeep is more comfortable to ride in. Who cares? Interesting. By the way, Simple Terms Gold story is not over. Oh, no, 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 no. You stick around. Hike up your pants. Fill them up with gold. Just don't make sure you got your belt tight enough. Because this comes out of Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, who admits the truth. We're not going back to the same economy. Period. And here's amongst the reasons why. U.S. has kicked off its new fiscal year with a $284 billion deficit. Federal budget deficit was about twice as large in October as it was the same month a year ago. U.S. Treasury Department announced that recently. Deficit totaled $284.1 billion in the first month of this fiscal year 2021, compared to $134.5 billion in October the year before. Revenues lower, spending higher. Well, yeah, some of the spending is higher because all these people got their freebie money. You know, the COVID bailout money. And they all ran out to Walmart and bought new 60 and 70-inch big screen TVs. Other electronic doodads, new Apple phones, it goes on and on and on. Come on, people. I saw a piece tonight that clothing sales are way down. I mean, so long as I got, you know, socks and underwear, I don't care. I got plenty of pants, plenty of shirts. You know, I don't bury me in the only suit I have, although it's the proper color. Black suits matter, right? Well, since the last time I took a look at the markets, rhodium, which dropped all the way down to 11,000, is back up to 12,400 bucks an ounce, and they're still not selling enough cars. Duh. Palladium flat today, 2,195 bucks. Platinum flat at 923 in the aftermarket. Silver up a whopping penny, $24.48 or thereabouts. Gold up a $1.40 at 1881. Well, it's up about 20 bucks from where it was a few days ago. And the beat goes on. You know, once upon a time, long, long ago, in a dream world far, far away, banks actually used to be capitalists. Did you know that? They were wealth creators. They wanted to do business with their customers. They facilitated import, trade, and commerce. And banks acted responsibly and conservatively with other people's money. But today, it's a completely different story. Banks seem to routinely steal from their customers. They gamble our savings away on ridiculous investment fads. They treat us like criminal suspects. They bury us in an absurd bureaucracy and then charge us fees for the privilege of working with them. And to add insult to injury, many banks seem to have become full-blown Marxists. Begin to notice some of this last year when a number of bank CEOs, along with heads of other major corporations like Apple and General Motors, declared they would no longer make business decisions prioritizing what's in the best interest of their company's shareholders. But you got to keep this in mind now. Shareholders. The shareholders own the company. The CEO works for the company. And yet these CEOs who essentially work for their shareholders have unilaterally decided that shareholders are no longer the priority. That's a common theme in politics as well, you know. Bernie Sanders, AOC, Joe Biden calling for an end to shareholder capitalism. Oh, don't get me wrong here. Being a responsible corporate citizen, treating customers well, taking good care of employees. These are all obvious things that are beneficial for any business long term. Hence, beneficial for the shareholders. Hence, beneficial for the country. But the key issue behind this movement is the belief that shareholders should not be able to call the shots any longer. It's kind of like the election process. You know, they don't want the people calling the shots any longer. And therefore, they manipulate it and lie and cheat and steal about it. Oops. No, these people believe that the government gets a say who should not be on a corporate board. And the public, i.e. the Twitter mob, gets a say what a company should and should not do. Everybody else gets to tell you what you're allowed to do with your own private property. In other words, your shares in the company. But it's no longer up to you. That is decidedly, my friends, anti-capitalist. Effectively, it's public ownership of what's supposed to be private property, and yet banks seem perfectly willing to go along with this new ethos. And now they've got another feather in their cap. Just a few days ago, Germany's Deutsche Bank, one of the largest banks in the world, released a paper proposing that people who have the privilege of working from home should have to pay a 5% tax to subsidize people who cannot. I mean, this is a work from home or remote worker tax. And the report claims that this tax has been needed for years, but COVID has just now made it obvious. And so regardless of your circumstances, even if you want to go back to the office but are not able to because your company sent everyone home, Deutsche Bank thinks you need to pay up. And the report is even borderline insulting to remote workers, saying that they are contributing less to the infrastructure of the economy while still receiving its benefits. So I guess apparently all of us working from home are just lazy, good-for-nothing bums in the eyes of the Deutsche Bank. You know, I've been working from home for 25, 26 years. My studio's in my home. My office is in my home. Everything I do from a work standpoint is in my home, other than go to the bank and go to the post office. Of course, as far as the post office is concerned, I suppose I could make arrangements to have everything picked up every day. But no thanks. This research report seems more like something out of communist student newspaper, not one of world's biggest financial institutions. You see, if these people feel guilty about their remote work arrangements and are unjust, there's nothing preventing them from giving their entire paychecks away. But for whatever reason, they feel entitled to demand a pound of flesh from everyone else's paycheck as well. But this is the world we live in now, where even the banks have become Marxist and every idiot feels empowered to propose public policy. And it's also why tax planning must absolutely be a part of your Plan B, which may soon become part of your Plan A. Oh, my friends, this is absolutely the case if we live anywhere in the West. Our taxes are going up. It's already been happening in many cases at the local level. It's the land of the free. We've seen income tax, property tax, sales tax, every kind of tax increase all across this country. And the People's Republic of California has even proposed a wealth tax, plus an exit tax from people who choose to leave the state. Move out. And that's before considering the impact of tax increases at the national level. The alleged incoming presidential administration in this country has already pledged to raise taxes, including corporate profits tax, individual income tax, and capital gains tax. It doesn't matter that the evidence strongly opposes these decisions. My friends, over the past several decades, the U.S. federal government's tax revenue has consistently been at about 16 to 18% of the gross domestic product year in, year out. In other words, the government's slice of the economic pie is between 16 and 18%. But keep in mind, where does that tax money go to? Most of it goes to pay the debt owed to the Federal Reserve. It doesn't go to fund anything. But during this period of time, the tax rates have been all over the board. They've been as low as 28% for the highest individual rate, to in some cases more than 90%. And yet the government's slice of the pie has remained nearly constant. The lesson is pretty obvious. No matter how high or how low tax rates go, the size of the slice relative to the rest of the pie remains the same. So rather than try to make your slice bigger, why not focus your efforts and your tax policy on what might create the biggest pie? Duh. But hey, man, why bother looking at data and history before making a decision? Of course, there is another example. Capital gains tax rates. The historical data show that raising capital gains rates actually reduces tax revenue. But you think they'd take a look at the mountain of evidence first, but oh no. They want to increase capital gains to as high as 40%, and that's just at the federal level. It's not going to be much different in many other countries, especially Europe. Governments all have their COVID problems, the programs to pay for, so they need the money. Now it's clear that even the banks are on board pushing for higher taxes. So once again, tax planning absolutely needs to be a part of... Maybe we do some things and don't pay any taxes. Yeah. I kind of like that idea. If you're working from home like me, watch out. They might be coming for you. Because I'm the tax man. Yeah. Sickening, isn't it? Absolutely sickening. But there's another way of looking at this. Don't let the Fed go full retard. Never go full retard. That's a good principle to abide by. Central banking worldwide is becoming more and more kooky by the week. There's a guy named Ken Rogoff, professor of economics at Harvard, formerly chief economist of the International Monetary Fund. Cat cuts a wide swath across academic economics. In May of this year, he made a public case for deeply negative interest rates. In other words, maybe just one man's opinion. But in November this month, he said, if not for the near zero lower bound, most central banks would now be setting interest rates far below zero at maybe 3-4%. All of which suggests that even as the economy improves, it could be a long time before policymakers are willing to lift off from zero and raise rates into positive territory. In other words, his personal views are now conventional wisdom worldwide, despite there being no example in all of human history of deeply negative interest rates doing any good for anyone anywhere. That's central bank macroeconomic manipulation cranked up to 11. Why? Well, because it's a flu-like disease. In the U.S., a new plan seems to be forming for next year. It involves the Federal Reserve expanding its balance sheet, meaning printing money, by about $3.5 trillion, while Congress spends roughly the same amount. That's about 18% of the gross domestic product. Basically pure printing press finance, because that always ends well, right? No, that's a warm-up for why the Senate should confirm Judy Shelton's nomination for the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, but I read something today that it may not, in fact, be happening. Judy Shelton may not cut it. Shelton's a very good economist. And like other good economists for the last 200 years, she is in favor of stable money, which in practice has usually meant a gold standard system. Unlike the proposals floating around central banks today, it's always worked well. And we know from centuries' experience, it's not retarded. Greenspan, who was chairman of the Federal Reserve for 18 years, during which people started calling him the maestro, was considered a gold standard fan when he began his term. And he has continued his admiration of a world gold standard even after his retirement. Of course, he brought that up a couple times when he was head of the Federal Reserve, but I think he got smacked down a little bit. You go to Morgana Precious Metals and you hold your mouse directly under the picture of the big pirate ship, you hold your mouse over the words, why gold? In fact, just click on why gold. And what you will have a chance to do is go down and read a couple of very interesting articles. One called The Truth About Money. Another one called Gold Versus Cash in a Crisis. Gold, A Valuable Thing to Store by Gary North. Power of Gold in Times of Crisis. Legend of Jacques Dupré. Roosevelt and his gold confiscation of 33, two or three other pieces, one of which I wrote many years ago. Another one called Historical Sketch of Paper Currency. But the really interesting one is called Gold and Economic Freedom, written by Alan Greenspan in 1966. The simple, most basic thing in his statement was, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. Go read the whole speech. It's well worth your time. And these are the things we're dealing with. More countries today, more than 50%, according to the IMF, follow the basic principles of stable money. Usually they link their currencies to an external standard of value, most commonly the dollar or the euro. But the dollar's dying, baby. The most rigorous expression of the principle is the currency board. And in doing so, they give up hopes of domestic macroeconomic management by a currency jiggering by the central banks. And boy, that's what the central banks do. They're jeering it all. They can't print money willy-nilly to fund domestic spending ambitions. Many of these governments have already gone down that road, and they don't like it. Today, they're wanting stable money. Bitcoin ain't going to be their stable money. Their monetary policy has become essentially passive. Gold, silver, 5,000 years of it. It's been pretty damn stable. And just as the euro serves as an external standard for value, for standard of value for dozens of countries today, gold served that role in the past for the whole world. That was the world gold standard system, which defined the 19th century before 1914. And it was recreated in the 1920s, recreated again at the Bretton Woods Convention in 44. All of which led to the two most prosperous decades for the global economy, the 1950s and the 1960s. That's in the entire period from 1914 to present day. The Bretton Woods global gold standard seemed to be working well, although it did suffer from internal mismanagement. Nobody wanted it to end in 1971, not even Richard Nixon. And a few months later, realizing his error, Nixon himself attempted to put the world gold standard system back together at the Smithsonian Agreement of December 71, in which the U.S. agreed to repeg the dollar to gold at $38 an ounce. But it didn't work out. But I've shared with you many times over the years exactly why Nixon was forced to close the window on gold. Every nation outside of this country, whether they be individual people or governments, if they were holding U.S. currency, they could legally go to a Federal Reserve Bank and demand payment in gold. You and I could not. Today's floating currency environment, the increasingly aggressive central bank macroeconomic manipulation it empowers, is the result of those failures. In 2017, former Bank of England Governor Mervyn King wrote The End of Alchemy, basically arguing that central banks should back off from their schemes and tricks. But instead, my friends, since then, things have become far more extreme. Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. And we abided by that principle, if not quite the letter of the law, for nearly two centuries until 1971, and became the wealthiest and most prosperous country in the history of the world. But unlike all the goofball notions peddled by central bankers today, which never seem to work out right, it had a proven track record of success. Basically, the same idea as most countries use today of achieving stable money by linking the currency to an external standard of value. But most people, they don't really follow the convolutions of academic economics. But they do understand that when something works for decades and centuries, it deserves some respect. And the screeching and the wailing from the academics about Judy Shelton's nomination is proof positive that they've gone off the deep end into a spiral of delusion. And it will have consequences. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. The bottom falling on. All the people slipping through the cracks. Well, you can run and hide, but you just can't change the facts.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Outside for a minute. You know, we were up in the 90s again here today. We're supposed to be here most of the week. And I just, you know, about an hour ago, still 85 degrees outside. Global warming, my butt. It's Phoenix, Arizona. You can't count on nothing out here. A few years ago, we had 2 hard frosts in a couple of years. And I got a bougainvillea tree out and back. It's the thickest damn stock that I've ever seen on this thing, trunk. And the ice won't kill this thing. I had to cut that thing way down. The sucker came right back up again. Amazing. Jeff Bennett here on the edge, protecting your wealth. Ted Butler. Guy that I read once in a while. I have a problem with an awful lot of these writers because in too many instances they're making outrageous statements. So gold's going to go to 10,000, and if it does, it's all over, folks. Okay, it just means the dollar's worth nothing. But Butler's on record as declaring 2020 as the most significant year ever for silver. considering all that has transpired this year throughout the country and the world, that may not be saying a lot. I mean, after all, you'd have to have lived on a different planet to argue otherwise. So he says, let me get more specific and lay out the most important statistics that make this year so significant for silver. And he says, as always, I rely on both hard and widely accepted data. We'll round off the numbers to make it easier to follow. But I'm not going to attempt to introduce any insider information, mainly because I'm not privy to any that he says. And by far the most important silver statistics concern the inflow, and this has been interesting, of some 400 million ounces of physical silver into the world's ETFs, that's electronic trading funds, and into the COMEX silver warehouses between March 16th through the end of July. Over a little more than 4.5 months, 330 million ounces came into the world's silver ETFs. 220 million ounces into the largest silver ETF, SLV. 70 million ounces coming to the COMEX warehouses, of which 30 million came into the J.P. Morgan COMEX warehouse. And yet, how many times has J.P. Morgan been found guilty of fraud? At least 5 times that I'm aware of. Massive, massive amounts of money that, in effect, they stole from their depositors, you know, with fees, et cetera, to pay it off. But Butler says, before explaining why I believe this 400 million ounce inflow of physical silver was the most remarkable development of the year, let me acknowledge there was also a very large physical inflow of gold into the world's gold ETFs and the COMEX gold warehouse as well. Not only was the mix different than in silver, in that the roughly 60 million ounces of physical gold inflow was even divided between the ETFs and the COMEX warehouses, 30 million ounces each. But the total gold inflow increased the total number of ounces in the ETFs and COMEX warehouses by 60% to 160 million ounces. Whereas the 400 million ounce total physical silver inflow increased total ETF and COMEX warehouse totals by only 36%. From 1.1 billion to 1.5 billion ounces. It explains, I think, in many respects, amongst the reasons why we have seen some outrageous markups on American Eagles and Maple Leafs and bars and all sorts of things. We've not seen these kind of outrageous markups in most of our life. Spot is being very carefully manipulated and controlled and held down, both in gold and silver. And yet there are products out there. There are products available. I received an email from a gentleman the other day, and here's a guy that I've never spoken with. And even though I've gone back and forth with a couple of emails, he's never responded to the email where he asked me about, he was interested in buying 500 ounces of silver. Now, sir, maybe you're out there listening tonight. And I responded to your email several times, gave you a couple of suggestions, a couple of options that are available to you. And the man had $500 to spend. And I said, well, option number one is we can take a look at a roll, which is 20 ounces of 1 ounce 999 fine rounds. And I can't remember the exact specific, but it came out to somewhat in excess of $500. And I gave him a second option, which has become one of my personal favorites to the point that I'm buying some for my own family. And those are the 101-gram Belcombe breakable bars. And those are available in different sizes. I'm just going to talk about this particular one for a moment. And he could buy 3 of these, and including the shipping and everything else, he would be under $500. Now, it's not the same number of ounces. There's no two ways about it. But I like the control factor of that breakability, that ability to snap off a gram or 2 or 5 or whatever is needed to do my transactions. This is something I trust. I do not trust this ongoing, continual manipulation of a Bitcoin. Bitcoin could be turned into nothing instantaneously if that's what the banks want to happen. But the banks don't necessarily want it to happen. They want it all going cashless. They want total control. We talked earlier about the tax increases that are eventually going to come. And in a cashless society, you are going to witness increases in your taxes, not just sales taxes. There's federal... You ever stop to think about what a gallon of gasoline costs? Think about this for a moment. A gallon of gasoline is next to nothing. It's the taxes that the states and the counties and the federal government levies on this stuff. It's insane. Absolutely insane. I'd rather have some goods in my back pocket or my front pocket. How many times have I talked about this? You got $20,000. You've decided to take all of this into possession. You put $10,000 in gold, you put $10,000 in cash, what we know of as cash. That way you can put your hands on it. It's out of everybody's hands. The bank doesn't know you got it. The stores don't know you got it. It's all in your control. And then your house catches on fire and burns. What have you lost? The cash. The $20,000 worth of $100 or $20 bills or fives or tens or whatever the mix. The gold is still there. Oh, it's melted. It's changed shape. But the ounces are still there. Simple way to put it, isn't it? But I don't care if it's 10,000 or 1,000 of each. The same end result will still happen. And many of you say, well, but where am I going to spend a piece of gold or a piece of silver? If you're living in the big city right now, you may have a difficult time. You're living out in the country. Country folk get it a lot more than city folk do. Now, I was born in the country. I only lived there till I was about three and a half years of age. But it was my home. And of all the members of the family, I was back at that home. Back in my grandfather and great-grandmother's 80-some-odd acres in Wisconsin, more times than I can tell you. In 1963, my grandfather sold the property, and they moved down to Lake Forest, Illinois, in a home that he had loved since he was a young kid. And I was the one member of the family that kept going home. I got to know the people that bought the two pieces of property, the two homes. One of them was a newscaster out of Chicago, Jory Luloff. She and her husband wound up with my great-grandmother's place, the place that I spent so much of my time. They're raising goats. Had some other small animals. They still continue now with the garden that my great-granny had. Place that I helped her plant and harvest, grow and feed. Went out to the piece of property out behind us that my great-grandmother and my grandfather owned. And we went out there and picked up dried cow pies. And we'd bring them back down, and we'd break them up. And they would act as fertilizer for the most amazing vegetable garden. Corn, beans, peas, snap beans, you remember them? Strawberries, raspberries, cabbage, lettuce, tomatoes, amazing stuff. What's that got to do with gold and silver? Not a lot. But I kept going home. I still prefer living in the country. Had an interesting conversation with Frosty Wooldridge today. I saw him on Facebook. He had just arrived at the end of Route 66 out in California. And I had to send him a note. I said, that means you drove right by my old house. He travels the whole country on bicycle, you know. I said, you drove by my old house. And I sent him a picture of it, which was taken in the sky. You know, one of those goofy maps they have. What do they call them? I got the thing sitting up here. Google Maps. And there was my house. And up here is the historic Route 66. My driveway. Yep, country life is good. Started buying silver when I was 10. Gold when I was 12, people. I've never stopped. You think I do this just for a living, don't you? No, it's something I have knowledge of. It's something that I believe very strongly in. Times business is busy and heavy, and times it's slower than molasses. Oh, I know. You got to make sure you got enough money to buy the turkey for Thanksgiving. Unless you live in Chicago, where Thanksgiving has been outlawed by that garish, strange-looking governor or mayor they've got in Chicago. Of course, if you live in California, you can only get together with up to 12 people for 2 hours. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. There is a video that I published some time ago called The Truth about the cashless society. I'm going to tell you where to find that piece. You go to Morgana Precious Metals. Now, you can, if you remember the name, you can get there yourself. If you're sitting on RBN, you can go up there, and I haven't been there to look for a while. I guess we still got the picture. We still got the picture of the pirate babe up there, Michael? He's answering. It's there. Okay. So you go up there, you click on the picture of the pirate babe. I don't know if that takes you to our you know, special hot deal of the week or whatever, if it just takes you to the website. But if you get to the website, over in the right-hand column, there's a picture of the pirate babe again. Click on it. Captain Morgana's treasure chest. And you scroll down there, and it says, watch the truth about cashless society. Simple. Gold, silver, got to be one of the best ways to ensure that you will have a method of barter and trade when this Federal Reserve cashless society comes into play. Because, my friend, it's called privacy. And that's something we're going to lose with every bit of this new tax ramification stuff that they keep talking about. Oh, and they're going to do it. You go out and buy, excuse me, ladies, your husband goes out to buy a package of prophylactics. There's going to be a record of it. You go out to buy a real nice bottle of tequila or Cavassier or something of that nature. There's going to be a record of it. Nothing you will be able to buy. How are you going to go to a garage sale or a yard sale and buy something without whipping out a card that's allowing you to pay for it with, oh, now, wait a minute, that means the people that are selling it to you, maybe they're going to get caught and have to pay a tax for something they chose to sell at a yard sale. Do you people get it? Now, there's a number of different things that certainly, if you have an interest and you want to call me, if you want to send me an email, if you've got questions about gold or silver or whatever the case may be, I don't get into this rare coin nonsense. I had a long talk with somebody the other day that a trucker who told me about a conversation he had some years a while back with the cheese company. Well, that's the company where I acquired my ill-gotten education in the precious metals and rare coin market. Now, that wasn't ill-gotten. They were lying through their teeth. But they quoted the Bible, so they must have been a good, strong Christian firm. Don't buy into it. You can't go to them and buy $500, $600, $1,000 worth of stuff. Oh, no, they want $10,000, $20,000, $40,000, and they're going to get you some real fine, rare coins. You know, gold pieces that were minted before 1932 and 33, but because they're certified and graded, they've got more value. Right, try to get that value out of those coins on the street today. Nobody's buying them, not unless they're dirt cheap. I'm not saying don't buy St. Gaudens and $20 Liberties and things of that nature, but let's make sure we're buying them for the right reason and we're buying them for the right price. You want 1 ounce gold American Eagles or half ounce or Canadian Maple Leafs or Vienna Philharmonics? We can do it. You want just little bars? We can do that. Gold, silver, doesn't matter. Forget platinum. Platinum has been dead for years. The rich folk are no longer buying it. I don't know what they're doing. I have, for a number of years, dealt with the Velcombe products. But over this past year, they have expanded their stuff beyond all amazement, both in gold and silver. And once again, on Captain Morgana's page, the treasure chest, the 100-gram Velcombe silver combi bar. It's got 100 1-gram pieces of silver. And we can get similar things in gold. We can get 1-ounce gold pieces that have been split into 1/10-ounce pieces. Then it'll cost you $500 or so less than buying 1/10-ounce American Gold Eagles. Don't buy into, oh, but the government struck those and that therefore, but don't even play the game. In most cases, I'm going to do all I can to get you the greatest amount of gold or silver for the money we can get. This particular piece I've got on Captain Morgana's treasure hunt right now is the 100 gram. They break off into absolutely clean 1-gram pieces of silver. We can get similar things in gold as well. 0.999 pure silver. They're minted at one of the finest mints in the world in Switzerland. It's unbelievable. Present time, cost of these is just under $150 per package. I had somebody inquire today, long-time listener. And, you know, I'm just a couple of pennies under it right now, etc. But for under $1,500, you can get, what? I've lost track. What is that? 10 of these. Look at the picture. That thing will fit in your purse, ma'am. It'll fit in your husband's back pocket. You could mount this thing above the visor in your car, your pickup truck. These are phenomenal. When I first came out with these, I literally had to deal with these in packages of 25. We can do them in less than that now. Unbelievable. Now, obviously, price can vary depending upon spot, this, that, and anything, but it's been pretty solid for close to a month now. There's been very little variation. I've not had more than a $2 variation on the cost of these at all. And, you know, you buy more, I'm going to probably get a slightly better price. I'm going to pass it on to you. It's not my money. It's yours. There are some nominal shipping and handling expenses, but if I get 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 people on it, we're going to be able to reduce some of the handling costs because I've got to bank wire my people. I had a gentleman today who had acquired some, and I told him if this all comes together, he's going to have a refund coming back on a portion of his purchase. And I will have out of this probably 3 moderate refunds. Take advantage of this. Give me a call tonight. Let me know what your interest is. I'll get to work for you in the morning. 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214. You can also send me an email through the website. Lord willing, I'll be back with you tomorrow. And we'll see what we can do about your good health tomorrow. I guess today was financial health, huh? Let's go with the physical tomorrow. Thanks for being with us tonight. Good night. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor and
most of us are not sure if we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do you think we have Do you think we have time? These are the days of the empty hand. Oh, we hold on to what you can. Charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to war. There is no hope to speak out. Skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.